ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and Barry's Willie Nelsoning on the road again. So he is on his way to Little Rock, Arkansas. So therefore, Aaron is blitzed on Twitter, has graced us with his presence. Aaron is a suspect for the next 3 hours. Aaron Rabel behind the glass, and of course, the one, the only Nick Sciarra sitting to my right.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Filling the chair that he's wanted to get into on a consistent basis.
Still trying to figure out how to get rid of Barry. It's still a work in progress. But
you could booby trap that chair so when he comes back.
That would,
you know,
be a good idea.
He's the only one that uses it.
No.
Well, Creighton likes it.
What about AJ? What about
AJ despises
John Granato?
AJ gets rid of the blue chair every day. That's their big thing. Barry hates the fact that's right, AJ he's way hates
taller.
The chair.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What's going on? What's new with you, man?
I'm pumped. Hold on.
We've got a great guest coming in at 1:30.
Yeah, the kiss of death.
In
Mario
studio.
Ellie, going to be in studio for an hour. It's going to be great. He actually hit me up, and I was like, yeah, we're always ready to chop it up with you. So if you got questions for Mario Ellie, you can hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll screen him and get him to Mario. He's a Yankees fan. He's a New York Giants football fan, so there's two strikes against him. He hit a shot, and he was a rocket, so you can love him for that. The other two strikes I can't do anything about.
Man, I'm excited to have him on. I can't believe someone didn't get your reference, the Kiss of Death reference on Twitter.
Bizarre. He made it. He said it was that something on TV with some character. I go, bro, there's only one Kiss of Death.
Mario Ellie, sir.
If you're in the city of Houston and you don't know the Kiss of Death, you should move.
For
That's
sure.
That's just dumb.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe he's a transplant. You never know. Maybe he's not from around these parts.
Did you just question his sexuality?
Huh?
You just call him trans?
No, I did not.
Oh, transplant.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my bad.
I wouldn't do that. I would not do that, sir.
Dude, I'm a transplant. I know what it is. I know Mario.
But you've been here a while. Maybe this guy just moved to Houston, I don't know, 3-4 years ago.
I also happen to have been sitting
You're an adopted
10 feet.
Houstonian.
I was 10 feet from Mario in the corner when he hit that shot.
Oh, that must have been badass.
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because at that time.
So at that point, at that time, I was working with the TV crew, with our producer and our director on every game, and that was an NBC game, and we were already on the road, so they take the guys that from the team that when we aren't doing a telecast, and they put us right behind Rudy and the coaching staff, and to my right were the radio guys, so I could monitor and help the radio guys, but it's the greatest seat for a game 7 you can have, right behind the coaches, right on the bench.
Right where Mario Ellie
and
shot
so it was
that
right
shot.
In the corner where Mario hit the shot.
Yeah, that must have been badass. That was such an intense moment. I remember watching that live as a kid. That's always going to be a part of the Rockets' history, no doubt. No doubt. I would replay that, and they do. They do that in pretty much all the home games. They're never going to stop replaying those highlights.
You know what they should do, too? Should put them on the coaching staff. Because if the Rockets were smart, and I was reading an article today, someone online said that they knew a whole bunch of NBA coaches that not only are they getting females into the coaching mix, a la Becky Hammon with the Spurs, but you see it now. I think Memphis was the latest. I think they just hired one of the ex-Notre Dame assistant coaches on the women's side to be a coach. And they were tweeting about the fact that coaches in the NBA want ex-NBA guys and females so that they're more relatable to the players. I don't know how Mario Ellie isn't back on the bench somewhere, and especially because in the past, there have been a lot of people that have lobbied, and Daryl Morey has turned down Mario Ellie for a coaching job with the Rockets. He's been a coach with the Mavericks. He's been a coach with the Kings. He's been a coach with, I think, the Brooklyn Nets, too. The bottom line is, he should be a coach for the Houston Rockets.
He's been with winning teams. He's absolutely an asset as a coach, for sure. And he could probably relate to stars and role players like he was when he was a Rocket, which, as we all know, is incredibly important for a championship team. So I think it would be an awesome asset. I know he does some work with the team, but not in the form of like
more
full-time
community stuff.
Yeah. But I don't doubt. I mean, he was with the Spurs. He knows what it means to win, and he knows what it means to be a role player. And I think that's exactly what they need right now with the advent of Russell Westbrook and the fact that it's a much trickier game to surround your two stars with help, considering the salary cap.
And I really want to get his take on Westbrook and everything the Rockets have done. But the other thing is, to your point, Mario's a guy that I've always known that doesn't take crap from anybody. And we knew that he was the junkyard dog on the floor. But the one thing that I used to remember was when they used to have the off season, like right about now, at Westside Tennis Club, they used to have Tim Duncan. They had Spurs, Rockets, NBA guys from all over the league were playing pickup at Westside. The guy that was running the gym, making every call, and no one argued with him, Mario Elie. He had a chair at midcourt. If he called the foul on you, you didn't bitch. If he didn't call the foul and you didn't get a call, you didn't bitch. And if you really wanted to press him, he'd throw you out the gym.
I think people who really want to be players that really want to be pushed and are okay with a hard-nosed coach with a no-nonsense mentality will respond very well to a guy like Mario Elie, no doubt.
Because he's been there, done that. He's got the rings. He's been in the pressure cooker situation. So he's going to come in about 1:30, be here for about an hour, so we'll get lots of questions for him. And again, you guys can fire him towards us. Text him to us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number, and we'll get you in with Mario. Also, hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Aaron is blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. So you were at the game last night.
Yeah. I was.
Did you like feel guilty because we were talking about like Barry being in the building for the combined no-hitter and leaving early and all that, and you were like, I got to be there for Grinke's first start?
Well, I was planning on doing that anyway. I wanted to see what the crowd was going to be like. Last night was the biggest attendance for a home game for the Astros this season.
Really?
Because of Grinke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or maybe it's the free T-shirts. I don't know, because give away.
I think everybody wanted to see. They were so jacked up about him joining the team. I'm sure they wanted to be there.
Yeah, I mean, he created a buzz, no doubt. No doubt. I don't think that's from the T-shirts. I was just saying that. But, like, dude, the crowd was massive. They did leave early when they saw that the Astros were, you know, they had a comfortable lead late in the game. Then they're like, all right, let's get out of here. I'm going to beat traffic. But for the most part, it was a buzz. It was a really good crowd at Minute Maid. Unfortunately, if it wasn't for that last home run that he let go, it would have been a pretty good performance. It was okay, with an exception of that home run.
Yeah, and he didn't, you know, you got to get to know the official score in your home ballpark, too. Because at first they made the Bregman error, which meant that he was only going to have two earned runs, and it would have been a quality start for him. And then all of a sudden, you get back to the booth, and Kevin Eschenfelter says they've changed the error to a hit for Murphy, therefore five earned runs for Grinke. And also the stat that I thought was amazing was his 65-mile-an-hour curveball, which has been hyper-effective in baseball. This is the first time all year that one of those 65-mile-an-hour curveballs has been hit for a home run. First time all year that pitch, which has been an out pitch and an effective pitch for him, it wasn't that bad. Even Berkman said it wasn't that bad, but the guy was sitting on it, and it just sat just right, and he was able to elevate it and get it out of the park.
I mean, he said it was a mistake. I think it was more of an execution situation. He said that in the clubhouse. I mean, if I can live with that, as long as it's not something where you feel like it's gonna happen again. It was the first time he was playing in a Houston Astros jersey, and he made a mistake, and he kind of owned it. So I'm not worried about it too much. I think it kind of dampened the mood a little bit, just because everybody was so excited about Zach Greinke, but I thought it was all right. Other than the two walks in that home run, that was the only time. That was just one rough inning it was the fourth or the fifth inning.
But you stayed post game, right?
Yeah.
Because this is what I really want to know. How weird is he?
Dude, I'm not going to.
Come on.
He does sound a little creepy. I'm not going to lie, man. Creepy. He sounds a little creepy. I'm going to use that word. Okay. I'm not saying he's creepy. He just sounds that way. That's just his nature. But you can make the same argument, honestly, for Charlie Morton. He's
true.
Very,
well,
like,
Charlie Morton was very introverted.
But that's what happens with like introverts, is like they come off as awkward and.
But Charlie Morton also wasn't a tell you exactly what I'm thinking guy.
No, he's not. He's very short and brief.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. He's not that guy. I mean, I feel like Greinke is not short and brief, but he's Charlie Morton like in the way he talks. He's not very detailed.
But like every article I've read says, like, if you don't want the honest to God's truth, don't ask Zach Greinke because he's going to tell you. Like, you know, some people that have the sorrow approach, like, God, that was a terrible pitch. Hoping someone would pat him on the back. Go, no, it really wasn't that bad. He'd be like, yeah, it really was. It was awful.
I want to see more video of that. I don't know if the Diamondbacks have, like, secret footage of him doing that. That'd be so funny. But he's an honest guy, like you said. Like, he even said, just because the bats were so strong, and he knows that there's going to be some long innings, and he's just going to be sitting there doing nothing. And
he said he was bored.
He didn't care.
I'll tell you this. You shouldn't be bored when you just gave up a three-run bomb to tie the game, and your offense steps right up immediately with a home run and a couple of well-timed hits to get you a two-run lead again. You should be ecstatic because you're leaving with a chance to get a W, which you eventually got.
Yeah. And AJ was saying he was kind of interactive, like, at the beginning, like, before he let that home run go. And then after that, he kind of flatlined, like, showing no emotion. You know what I mean? And he said he absolutely loved that. So, obviously, there's a competitive nature in him that you appreciate, you know, because you don't want him, you know, complacent when he's playing with a team like this. So, I'm still looking forward to it. I feel like it was just a, you know, if it wasn't for that home run, I think it was, you know, it was an okay performance.
I kept thinking about how honest he is when Bregman botched that ball, and then when Altuve botched the attempted double play flip during the shift,
yeah,
and then they got out of it, and I thought Altuve's going to run to the dugout and he's going to want to say my bad, but he's afraid to say it because Greinke's going to go, yeah, it was, because you could just see that he'd be the kind of guy that'd be like, yeah, it was your bad, that was awful.
Yeah, I think when he gets really comfortable with this team, and all indicators say that he kind of is cool with everybody. I mean, Verlander, all the pitching staff, all the batters. Like, I think when he gets really comfortable, that's when you're going to start seeing stuff. And hopefully he's mic'd up. Hopefully they're cool enough about
that. He'll
never do that. Man, that would be so cool to have him mic'd up.
He avoids the media so much, he would never do that.
He would be the best for a mic'd up segment, without a doubt.
Because I don't think he's a cusser either. So I think you would get a lot of just straight Greinke, but I don't think he'd ever do it.
Do they do that anyway in MLB? I don't know if they do that a lot. They do sometimes.
Well, they did it. Was it? I've
at
seen
the All-Star game. Obviously,
Pete Alonso did it at first base, and I don't know if that was the All-Star game and or there was another. I thought someone else had mic'd him up, or one of the field mics had picked him up when he was talking to someone at first base during the first half of the season, or maybe it was the All-Star. Yeah, I know they do it All-Star game, but I'd love to see him do it in a regular season game.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. I mean, look, they can obviously edit it and filter out what they don't want, you know, going over the air or being published publicly. So, I mean, I would like to see that, for sure.
That would be fun to see. So, the Astros wrapping up a short two-game series with the Rockies. They're just underway. First pitch has already taken place. It's Gerrit Cole on the mound, and he is red hot. So, we'll see if he can continue that. We can talk some Astros. Then again, at 1:30 until 2:30, Mario Elie joins us, and we'll kick it around on a whole bunch of topics. So, we're going to have the entire day covered for you. You need to keep it right where it's at. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back! Just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick and Joel. Barry's on the way to Little Rock. I saw his car in the parking lot.
That's maybe what you said earlier.
Maybe he carpooled. Maybe he was going with somebody else and they took, like, Westling or someone, and they took their truck.
Maybe he was recording something and he left, but that makes him an a-hole because he did not say hi
right,
or anything.
Right, didn't even stop in.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I didn't see his car, so.
And it was back. He normally backs into the parking slot, so.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Was it back then?
Yeah.
Oh, it was totally Barry. A-hole.
Yeah, I don't know. And you know he's probably listening right now anyway, so we expect the text to figure out the explanation of why the hell you would be such an a-hole, you b-hole. If you're watching the Astros game, lucky you. If you're looking to listen to it, don't. You can just listen to us. We'll update you. But Gerrit Cole gave up a First inning home run to Trevor Story. Astros down 1-0 coming to bat in the first. So we'll see how that goes. But we were talking about the game itself, and you were there last night and all the different aspects. One thing that really impressed the hell out of me was when he did give up the lead, the offense just kept on coming. I mean, you can say it, and we know it, and we get it's almost at nauseam now how we're talking about Yordan every single night. But again, he just pummeled the baseball. But then when they get, you know, it easily could have been a very, very disinterested and deflated baseball team when they gave up the lead because they had put up runs, they were productive, they were, you know, prolific at the plate for one, at least during the game, and all of a sudden it's like it's all gone. And then Correa, boom, right away, opposite field home run, then they manufacture another run, and then they just, even when Blackman hit the home run to make it a one-run game, they got another one. They made sure the lead was padded, and you could almost feel like, hey, this is Zach's first game. We want to make him feel at home. We want to get him that W. And they did. So I love the way the offense played last night.
And that's what Correa said. He even took responsibility. Like, they didn't play that bad. But he's like, yeah, the defense didn't play the greatest tonight. I'm like, I mean, you didn't, but it wasn't, like, terrible. But he wanted to look out for, you know, the new pitcher, you know. And Zach Greinke, and he wanted to show that, look, we're a team. We got your back. And they basically had an answer for every score that Colorado had. So that's good. And I think they can do that against a lot of teams. I think it's pretty obvious. And now with Correa back in the lineup, we said before, if he can just hit anything, that makes this lineup that much more scarier. And Alvarez, man, just...
I'm looking at the lineup last night. And today they're giving Springer the day off. They've changed the lineup a little bit. So Altuve's leading off. But when I look at that lineup and I went 1-7 last night, and I thought... Chirinos, and then if you're going to say Mariznick's a weak, I mean, I'm sorry, Reddick's a weak link hitting 270
He's
something
right
in the
now.
Nine hole. I mean, that is a. I know everybody's all over the prolific power of the Yankees in their lineup, but man, that lineup is solid for the Astros.
Yeah, Reddick, for a while he was kind of like hiccuping in a lot of his at bats, but I think he's come around a long way, and I think he felt really confident. I was telling this to. Who was it at the press box? I was like, dude, he looks way more confident now because I think he led off two innings in this game, and he looked ready to play.
He had a triple, which was big,
and he didn't even look at the base coach. That guy just kept running. He just kept running. He knew he wanted to get to third. But Altuve, I felt like he could have like two at bats before.
Talk
Altuve,
about him, Nick. Who?
Altuve.
Talk about him. Talk about how good he is.
He could have made it to third on one of those at bats, and he decided not to. And then Reddick, I was like,
back to Altuve. Talk about him so much that you feel like today he'd even have a better day.
What do you mean?
Look at the TV screen.
Oh, he just hit a homer. I didn't even
one
see
pitch,
that.
One pitch, one swing, one home run.
One home run, tie game. Jose Altuve in the leadoff spot. Now, if that would have been Springer, he'd have tied the franchise record for leadoff home runs
in
a season.
That's right.
But instead, Altuve gets the ding-dong, and we're back to even. That's why I'm telling you, that's why you got to love about this team. Sure, they made the trade for Greinke. Yes, they've enhanced their pitching staff. But my, oh my, with that offensive lineup that they have, it is so fun to watch.
See,
this
team puts the pressure on the bats for Colorado. Like they're like, man, now we got to answer again. Now we got to deal with this. And we're going up against Gerrit Cole. It's such a deflating feeling when, like, all right, you get a walk and you get, you know, you let a single go. And then the next thing you know, oh, I have Gurriel I have to face now. That's like the worst. You got two people on base. And then next thing you know, you have to face Yuli. God, that's got to be deflating. That's got to be super deflating.
And the reigning offensive player of the month in the American League. And then he goes with two bombs last night. So, you know, he's not cooling off either. And he was a guy people were worried about at one point during the season, too. So their lineup's been fantastic. Greinke did enough to get the win, obviously with the help of the offense. But we were talking about how quirky he can be. He talked about the environment in Minute Maid Park, and in particular, one extra special thing in the outfield.
Yeah, it was a big crowd. My family had a good time. A lot of the train action today, and so it was a good game.
Yeah, he liked the train. He talked about the environment. He feels like he's really fitting in already to this club, and those are good things. Because the other thing that you worry about that we've talked about a lot on this show, which is there is that special dynamic in the clubhouse, and everybody gets along, and everybody's like a family, and you add that quirky personality, and you don't know how it's going to go over, and the fact that you could see the veterans have gone over the top to try and make him feel welcome, but the fact that he's feeling that, and he's expressing that, which he doesn't do, is a good sign.
Yeah, I think he's going to get really comfortable with this team. I mean, he's got great teammates in Verlander and Cole that he can really work with. You saw how they were interacting when he got there to Houston. And then, you know, I think Presley might be activated this weekend, too.
He pitched in the minors last night. He gave up a hit, but that was it. So he's getting close. I think Peacock's going to throw today.
So he's got good teammates.
So he's getting close to coming back. Then right after that, Josh James is supposed to do a minor league rehab stint. Then he should be ready to go. I don't know if he'll come back before the road trip, which is a quirky, bizarre road trip, by the way.
Who are you talking about, Peacock?
Peacock's today in the minors.
Okay.
Presley was last night in the minors. And Josh James is supposed to get a rehab stint coming up in the next week or so.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're looking at those guys coming back as well. And then there's going to be some tough decisions to be made by Jeff Luhnow and by A.J. Hinch because of the fact that the staff has so many options now from a pitching perspective in that bullpen. Someone's going to be upset and get their feelings hurt because someone's not going to be pitching for a while based on the fact that they have so many arms to choose from and they can afford to take the hot hand.
It's a good problem to have. Only up until the point you know you're going to have to upset somebody on the roster. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it went. Look, I mean, I was a fan of Tony Kemp, but look at the lineup, yeah. Dude. Like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to put him? So, I mean, that's like I said, it's a good problem to have, but that's just the nature of the beast. So it's going to be interesting to see how A.J. Hinch handles that. But
the bigger thing is going to become playoff time when you got to trim that roster and you really got to make some tough decisions on who makes the playoff roster from series to series. Last year, Rondon got his feelings hurt and didn't know how to act once he got left off the list. This year, you look at it, a guy that was like another reliable guy like Colin McHugh was struggling again last night. They were worried about even with a big lead, maybe having to get someone else up in the bullpen. There's a guy you got to keep your eye on because you have a Biagini. You have done some things to where you can be in a position to where you don't have to rely on the Davinskys and the Colin McHughs. And even Will Harris has been up and down. Yeah, but I was going to say, because of the numbers, I'm not going to put him in that category. But I am concerned about him. I am very concerned about Rondon. And those are guys that you have options with now because of the fact, even a Joe Smith has come in limited duty and done his job. I like that.
Where do you put Biagini in this situation? Like, where is he? Where, like, how do you feel about him?
I'm going to keep using him until he shows me that he's got some cracks in the armor and that he has some issues or some kryptonite. Because the one thing that I think that has been a huge factor in the guys that I've been mentioning that have been struggling is the fact that they continually put men on base, whether it be through a leadoff walk or giving up a single right away, and they create traffic on the bases when they don't need to. And I think that getting ahead and being smart, if Biagini can do that, and you can rely on him, then I'm going to continue to use him. And if the guys are going to bitch about it in the locker room or in the bullpen, then guess what? Then maybe you should have tightened it up a little bit. This is the kind of ship we're running. We're a championship caliber team. We don't take that lightly, and we're not going to deal with it. If you want to get your stuff together and come back and prove that when we do call on you, you've tightened it up, then you'll get more run.
Yeah, I'm looking at the I wouldn't necessarily put him as one of the names in the bullpen that makes me extremely uncomfortable, but I can see what you're saying. I'd rather have him show me what he can do, evaluate him, see what he can do first. I tend to agree with you. Someone like a Hector Rondon probably makes me more uncomfortable than a guy like that, but it's, you know, Joe is a new player, so yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how AJ handles this. I don't know. He's going to have some tough decisions to make, and he's going to upset some people, no doubt.
Yeah, so that'll be, but it's a good problem to have because they've got resources to go to now as opposed to guessing who would be the next guy to step up and possibly help from the minor leagues. Now you don't have to worry about Fromber and your Keedy and all those different guys. You've got guys with major league experience that are ready to step up if called upon.
When's Greinke's bobblehead coming out?
Oh, you know that they're going to capitalize on that. The way these bobbleheads draw people in, I would say between now and the end of the season, they will find a way to create a Greinke bobblehead.
It's probably being manufactured right now.
You think they're going to do a Greinke bobblehead / ring night? Oh, they can't do that.
They can't do that. Too much. 2 years.
All right, I don't know if he's here yet, but Mario Elie is due to join us in the next segment. So we got some baseball out of the way. We'll talk some basketball and other things coming up next. Mario Elie set to join us, the kiss of death in studio at Gal Media. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
What's up, man? Hey, yo, what's going on, yo? Sick and tired of 5-0 running up on the block, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Snow, they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, as promised, the man, the myth, the legend, the kiss of Death is in the studio. My man Mario Ellie joining Nick and I and Aaron in the studio. Good to see you, brother. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. you have kids.
You came in. You were all jacked up. You get to watch the Astros. You're good luck because they're your favorite team. They're now.
I got to watch that during the telecast. You're killing me.
Yuli's third home run in the last day and a half, and the Astros are now up 4-1.
I mean, they stacked. It's three teams in baseball, the Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers. Everybody else shouldn't matter. Those three teams have just been dominant all year.
As a Yankees fan, you watched the trade deadline come and go. Everybody said you guys had to make a move, and Cashman doesn't, and then the Astros get Grinky. Your thoughts?
Hey, I'm very happy we stood pat. I know we needed some starting pitching, but our guys are coming back. Severino's coming back. Dela Patances is coming back. I mean, we must have the biggest team in baseball. We got a bunch of 6'8 guys, but our 6'8 guys are always getting hurt. Stanton ain't really play all year. He's been hurt. Judge's been hurt. And Dellen been hurt. All those guys are 6'7", 6'8".
We'll give you the ring for most injured, and then you give the regular ring to the Astros.
But the thing is, Joe, we're still winning. So
true. Good point.
Yeah, we're still winning.
No, I was interested to see how you're talking about the Yankees, and you going back and forth with Joel in the break was pretty funny. But but outside the Astros and the Yankees, do you have any belief in any of these other teams? And the Dodgers, any belief in any of these other teams?
I do not. Those are the most dominant teams. I think the most complete team are the Astros because they got the starting pitching and the offense. I wish we would have made a move. I know I'm talking mess that we still pat, but we definitely need some starting pitching. We had a stretch there where our ERA was almost over 12. I mean, Boston tore us up the other weekend, but we got our revenge.
Plus, they had the most injuries, the most players on the IL, right? They were tied for the most. I think they had 20. It was the Yankees and I think another team, either Washington or Philadelphia. So for them to be able to do that and persevere, dude, that's crazy.
Regular season games, it's like to me in basketball, regular season games come and go. I want to see how these young guys perform in the postseason when the pressure's on the line. That's when we need our veterans. During the season, you can plug guys in, especially when you got a good team. But come playoff time, you need the big
dogs. And it's a different animal. You look at what – and props to the Yankees for all season because a lot of Astros fans bitch about all the injuries they've just endured. And it's like, yes, they have, but it hasn't been anywhere close to what the Yankees have. You lose Torres again the other night because of another injury with his core. He's going to be sent back to New York for evaluation. Aaron Hicks, they thought he was going to need Tommy John surgery. But, you know, at the same time, you give them all that credit. And like you said, it's the regular season. Now what you want to do is you want to see – Who's got the grapes to be able to perform big when the lights are the brightest in the playoffs? And everybody from the time the season started to now, it's going to be Yankees-Astros. It's going to be Yankees-Astros. That's what everybody wants to see. Legitimately, you'd like to see both teams at full strength.
Absolutely, because both teams at full strength are just outstanding. It'll be just a great playoffs between those two teams. They've been dominant the past couple of years, too. It's been those teams. And you can add Boston to the mix. To me, Boston is talented. They're just having a bad year.
Their starting pitching has been crap, too.
Yeah. I mean, Price and Arcel really been letting them down.
Purcell has been awful, yeah.
He's been bad. I mean, you got a bunch of good pitchers on that staff, but I have no pity for the Red Sox. I'm glad they struggling and we're pounding them. And we don't even want them in the playoff. We don't even want them in the wild card. Because to me, if they can get in the playoffs as a wild card, people better watch out.
They can do some damage.
Yes, they can.
Yeah. You know, and Nick, I got to deal with this because Mario is a Yankees fan.
I know.
Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, who's like my little brother.
He's a Yankees fan?
Oh, huge.
Come on, man. We Yankee boys.
Huge. I've had to deal with this my whole life.
I had no idea about Tony.
Ever since I've been in Houston, I've had to deal with both these guys.
Golly. I look at Tony completely different now. Yeah. Is he from New York?
No, his dad was a big Yankees fan.
Oh, okay. So that's why he's a big Yankees fan?
His dad, Chip, is a big Yankees fan. Got Tony hooked on it.
And so Astros is the second team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like
just
the Knicks?
In my house, so my sons, they are everybody Yankee fan in my house. So.
You converted your sons?
They're not allowed to wear Astros jerseys in the house?
Huh?
They're not allowed to wear Astros gear? They're not allowed to wear
We got no Astros gear. We got Yankee hats. We got Yankee
your
gear.
Your wife's
all over
on
the
TV.
Place.
She's got to represent the city. I deal with this the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, my wife is biased. She understands. Like you said, she's in the media. But everybody else in the LA household,
Here's the secret for you.
NYC, baby.
Lisa's from California. She's a huge Dodger fan.
Is she?
She fakes it really well.
Lisa.
She's a huge Dodger fan. Like, she was so ticked off when they sent someone to cover the series from the station and they didn't send it. She goes, I know California. I'd have hit it well, but I was there. She wanted to go. But I ain't mad at you about having the kids train, because, like, some of the first words out of Taylor's mouth were, go Packers. And now all I got to do is walk around. If I walk around the house and I go, go, she'll go, Packers. I go, that's my girl.
Hey, that's your girl.
Got a
right
trainer.
There. Exactly.
No doubt about it. So we're glad to have you in studio. We had to talk some baseball because I know that you're a huge Yankees fan. I know you don't want to talk about the Giants because they suck. But
season ain't start yet, buddy. Easy now.
That's right. It's already over for you guys. But, no, we can talk about that too. But, I mean, you know, you and I were texting. We always are one way or another. We're reaching out. But now that you had some time, your kids, a hellacious AAU schedule. Your daughter plays volleyball. The two boys play hoops. You are coaching and you're supporting. You put your name on the team. So you've been all over the place this summer.
Been grinding. A lot of frequent flyer miles. A lot of Hilton and Embassy Suites Hotel.
It's rough for you.
I couldn't
You're
have it
slumming.
Hey, I am slumming compared to the NBA yeah. lifestyle at the Four Seasons
That's right.
and the Montage in L.A. But it's been wonderful. Me coaching 10 years, now allowing to see my kids play, taking them to practice. I'm loving this whole process about being a dad, being involved. You know, the head coach of the high school wants me involved to just talk to the kids. I got
That's
a chance
great.
To coach them. At A&M camp this summer, had a blast, and the coach loves the energy I coach with. I just really enjoy coaching the kids and seeing my two boys playing and coaching them. So it's been a great summer.
Well, it's good that we have you in studio, because you being a dad and having kids that play sports, one of the questions I wanted to ask you was about LeBron and some of his antics and whether or not that was a bad or a good thing. We can probably do it on the other side so we can give him some more time. But the LeBron situation, and obviously the Rich Paul rule, and how it seems like the NCAA may or may not be targeting his agent. So I think getting that perspective from a parent and from a former player is going to be awesome. I really want to get his thoughts on the LeBron situation more than anything else.
For sure, because I want to set that up by saying we talked about it at the time it happened. And I said, look, you and I have had conversations for years, and you are that guy that sits in the bleachers and isn't vocal and isn't following the officials. And we know some of the people that have been banned from the gym from berating officials and doing things like that. Then this LeBron thing comes up. And I said, and I've been very staunch in the fact that AAU has been the most corrupt thing for basketball that has hurt basketball more. It's helped it over the years. You're the guy that I always refer to as being the guy that knows right from wrong to police this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, first, people got to understand, because players on my team don't have parents. When we go on the road, it's me and my wife and the coach. These kids don't get the support. For me to see LeBron excited for his son, It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing having a dad involved in his kid's life. Granted, Bronny James, because he's LeBron's son, gets a little bit too much hype on the Twitter. But to seeing a dad interact like that on the side, when my son makes a good move, I'm up raising the three signs, talking.
You're not running on the court.
I'm not running on the court.
You're not doing layup lines. I mean, I got problems with
that. Is that fair? Is that fair for the other team, though? Like when he's doing layup drills before the game?
Just lay the ball up or take a jump. I don't like all the dunking, you know, because he could have tore his knee up.
But I'm saying LeBron, if George Costanza or a dad like that goes out on the court, could be a technical foul. The refs are going to react differently than if LeBron wants to go do layup line with his kids.
True that. But I just love – that dude loves LeBron loves the game of basketball. You can't doubt that. But I thought, you know, just go out there and shoot a jumper, you know.
Can't you love it from the stands? You don't need to be on the court.
Well, some guys, he wants to be around it. And, you know, LeBron, he's in L.A., Hollywood.
He wants to be seen,
I guess, probably
bro.
That, too, and probably promoting Space Jams, too, which I didn't hear too much about.
Because they didn't call you. You should have been on the roster.
I should have been on it.
The hell's wrong with free money?
I just like LeBron because I've been a part of AAU circuit. There's a lot of kids that don't get no support. They don't have no parents at home. But you're right. I'd rather him lay the ball up or shoot a jump. Everybody wants to see LeBron. Everybody likes him being around the game. But just don't go over there and try to dunk and show off a little bit. Just shoot a little jump or a layup. But I like his involvement. As far as the Rich Paul thing, I think it's just some foolishness. The NCAA is just trying to reach. They just mad that a guy of color is probably
power.
The most powerful agent. Mm-hmm. In NBA right now, Rich Paul is a powerful guy. He's pulling some big moves. The one thing I don't agree with what he did, if you got years on your contract, finish your contract up. Don't try to get a contract when you got 2 years left on your deal. That's why everybody's mad about it. You signed a contract, abide by it. That's why I respect Kawhi and Durant, even though I don't like Durant going to the Warriors. He was a free agent at the time. Kawhi Leonard's a free agent. The Lakers get mad at Kawhi, Toronto. Kawhi said, man, I can work at my own time. You don't have to wait for me. You know, you go ahead and make your deals. I'm going to make my decision when I can. And players got the power. These top players have all the power right now. I don't agree with the NCAA. All the money these young guys are making the NCAA, and these guys don't get a dime of it. So I don't want to hear about that, you know, the Rich Paul rule and all that. The timing was messed up, but I really don't agree with the NCAA is doing.
So we'll talk about all that because I got some thoughts on it, too. Yeah. We'll kick it around. So we've got a lot to get to. We're going to step away for a quick second. We'll come back with much more with Mario Elie. He's here for the hour, so we've got plenty more to get into. You kind of covered the gamut for me going topic to topic before we expanded, but we'll get back into some of that. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about besthotelrates.com. You know, if you're traveling the globe, whether you're coaching AAU basketball or you're traveling for business and you're looking for the best hotel rates that are out there, there's a company that does it all for you, and it's all in the name. It's besthotelrates.com. All you do is go to besthotelrates.com. You put into your dates of departure and arrival, at the city you're going to be going to, and the fact of the matter is they've already created the deals with 600,000 hotels worldwide. They set it up. They get all the deals so you can capitalize. You don't have to do all the work on the research on the internet and rack your brain. You just go to one site at one time and the rest takes care of itself. Like I said, it's in the name. Check them out. besthotelrates.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the show. Hour number one, 3 hour show. Mario Elie's with us in studio. It's a way back Wednesday. We haven't touched on it a whole lot. I have hour number one, songs pre 2009 from artists from the cities that made trades with the Astros before the deadline. That means Toronto, Chicago, or Phoenix. And believe me, there was nothing but ass bottom with the exception of Chicago.
Not really. I felt like there was three good lists. There was like, we had Kanye on the list.
Well, Chicago. All the artists come from Chicago. Go find me, and Drake, because it wasn't pre-2009, plus I'd never put him on my list. Toronto had nothing. Arizona, and Barry even said Scottsdale or Phoenix. Go find me other than like a Stevie Nicks. Find me someone that's worthwhile from Phoenix.
I don't remember what I found for Phoenix outside of Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. He was from Phoenix, so
that's why. So you found no one, essentially.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It was mostly Chicago because Common, Lupe, Twista,
Kanye,
who else? Do or die, baby.
They're all from Chicago.
So, all right. So, Mario is in studio. I wanted to get to a couple of these things. You covered both of Nick's topics in one segment. I wanted to get to split them up. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you in terms of the Rich Paul rule, first of all, what people don't realize is this is a hindrance and it is the Rich Paul rule. But Rich Paul is smart enough to realize as long as someone that works for his agency has a college degree, he can have that person be the point person for just the college underclassmen. And then after he gets him on board, then Rich Paul can represent him when he gets to the NBA. So it's not as bad as it seems, but it does seem like it's targeting Rich Paul.
Totally agree, and you hit it right on the head, Joe. He has people on his staff, I'm guaranteed, that have degrees, so he probably can funnel them through them. And then, like you said, Rich Paul can put the finishing touches. They're just afraid of his power. This man is powerful. They weren't saying that when David Falk had all the power, when he had Ewing, he had Jordan, he had Alonzo. He sort of had the NBA in the sand back in the lockout there. So nobody's talking about when David Falk had the power. So well, now that the Rich other thing Falk you look at too,
it's one thing for the NCAA to be hypocritical because of the fact that you can tell that the agents they have to have a degree in order to deal with their players, but how many of their players actually have degrees? Most of these kids are leaving after one year and they're gone, and you're talking about a process that you're trying to improve where kids are going to leave early. They're not going to have a degree, so why does the agent have to have one?
I didn't think about the loophole that Rich Paul could do and have somebody on his staff that has a bachelor's degree, so that's cool, but it's similar to like owning a clinic or a hospital. You don't necessarily have to be a medical doctor to do so. So it does bring up the question, why would the NCAA, they have to be smart enough to know that they're going to expose that loophole. Why would they even put that rule in place? If you're targeting him and you want to get him out of the industry, you know there's got to be some sort of loophole in place as well, right? It just seems like a dumb attempt to single one person out when he knows there's ways around it. Yeah. It's just an obstacle, a hurdle more than anything else. So
we agree.
Yeah.
So I mean, from that standpoint, I'm not going to worry too much about it, but I think that it's the NCAA worrying too much about nothing. I mean, I think the big thing is that they really need to concentrate on, especially if they want the product to be good and stay better for the NCAA, is take the kids that don't get drafted in the first round and still allow them to go back after the process.
Yes.
Let the team have the rights to them if you want, but you know, for a year or so, like the old Bird rule, but let the kids be able to go back to school, because the last thing you want is a total hardship. They declare, they think they're going to be a first round pick, they're not, they don't get the financial security, and then they can't go back to school either and play ball, and it's a really ugly situation.
It is. But I know the league is trying to get that G League, just in case you don't make it, you're able to go to the G League. But I'm with you guys, man. I'm totally with you guys.
All right. And on the flip, on the other side of that, when we're getting back to the AAU talk, you and I have talked about this in the past, how corrupt it can be. I think the NBA at some point, or even if the NCAA really wanted to focus on what they could do to make the overall sport better, it would be cracking down to the standpoint of trying to limit the amount of overindulgence these kids get, because they get spoiled with all the travel, the tennis shoes, you know, all the freebies and the perks, and no one's policing that. And then when they get to college, it's almost a step back.
My thing is, these college coaches, all these programs that are getting busted, that's where they got to start, with the programs that are cheating. I know I hear Texas, Kansas, where are the penalties?
Arizona.
Where are the penalties? All I'm seeing is the penalties of the assistant coaches. They're not the guys that run the programs. What's the head coach? Where are the head coaches at? Rick Pitino is the only guy to me that sort of got in trouble. What's going on with Sean Miller in Arizona? Didn't they catch him on a wiretap? Why is he still coaching?
The guy from LSU got caught with a wiretap.
Yeah, and these are the things that bother me. You go, and then to me, a lot of these assistant coaches or African-American coaches that's going to jail or getting their reputations tarnished, and these guys are not able to get jobs and provide for their families. That's what bothers me. Let's get these head coaches and these programs suspended. You know, let's get them suspended, even if they're top of Kansas and one of those type of
programs. Do you think they fear like something like, not that the death penalty would happen in basketball, but something like that that deters these programs so much that it affects the bottom dollar? Clearly, there has to be some sort of like money motivation for them to let these head coaches go, right?
Yeah. I mean, they got to do something about it. NCAA, they worrying about Rich Paul. They got bigger fish to fry at the moment. That's last on the totem pole. You know, these guys.
That's my point. Sean Miller was out there basically admitting guilt with the whole Aon situation and all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week later, he's back to coaching and acting like it wasn't me.
And not that. And like you said, Joe, then Aon and the kid.
Ayton.
He in the NBA making millions of dollars and not even getting punished. He done left a pile of trash behind in Arizona. And now he's getting rich. I mean, that's not right, man. Something should happen to him for being involved. Or NBA, if NBA and NCAA go get together, you got to hold some of these guys accountable. There's a lot of guys in the NBA who has some dirty laundry left at their colleges, and they ain't,
Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah,
basically set up his university for failure in the future, and just said, "Got mine,
I'm out." And that's why I'm bad, Joe. I mean, them guys need to hold some responsibility also, the player. So it's a dicey situation. We could talk about the NCAA, NBA all day.
Well, let's talk about the fact the suspects want to hear your opinion on everything with the Rockets. So next we'll come up and start breaking down what has been an eventful offseason over
Polk
Street. Yeah, so we'll talk about everything that's going down with the Rockets, the roster that they have now, where it's going forward, and what Mario thinks about all that. So stay tuned for that as hour number two is around the corner. It is the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.